things, and we got some traveling and on trips, and so pray for those. It's different places this morning, but we're here. I'm excited about what God has blessed us with and is doing in our church. And as we had Sunday school, we never got into our lesson. We began talking about some things, and God began laying stuff on our hearts, and we found an outreach for our Sunday school class, so we're excited and see what God's going to do through it. I usually save all announcements for the end, but if I don't do this one now, I'll forget it, because Pat said she don't think my brain's fully developed yet, since I'm just 21. So, I had a lady call me Friday, and I had completely forgot it, and that's why I want to do it now. I'd completely forgot it until we was in the class and somebody mentioned DHR. But I got a call Friday from the DHR office. This lady said her name. She said, "I'm DHR in Heflin." I thought, well, what have I done to my kids? Or, you know, some of that stuff. But no, seriously, she said, "We would like to come talk to your church about the need for foster parents in Cleburne County and the need for help, and wanted to know a good time." So she suggested a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. I told her I would get with everybody here and come up with her an answer. She's supposed to call me back next week. So we need to get together and talk about a time that we can set aside for her to come talk to us. Of course, we're missing a lot this morning, but I would like to be able to put it out to everybody, give everybody an opportunity to be here when it's done. And when she said it, my mind began thinking, well, I don't know if anybody in our church would do that, but I'm not the one to decide that. That's up to people, and that's up to God to lay it on people's heart. But there is a great need in our county for this, she said. I'm not in touch with that. I know there surely is a great need in other counties I hear about, but sadly to say, I haven't been that involved with it in Cleburne County. But kind of the same thing come up in our Sunday school class about the need to offer young ladies some help. We've been preaching, and the thing of abortion has been on our minds since New York did what they did, and now we're seeing other states do this. But one in our Sunday school class come up with a great idea, or a great something to mention, is what option are we giving them? In Cleburne County, if you're in this situation, what option do you have? And, you know, we're so good at preaching about what not to do, and we need to be the solution. We need to offer a solution. So if you can, get with me, some of you who help us with things, and let's see if we can get a time set up. I can give this lady an answer that she could come and speak with us and tell us about the need in Cleburne County. And maybe if nobody wants to help with a fostering children, maybe there's a way we can help otherwise. So I'd be much in prayer for that. Do we have any other prayer requests this morning before we get started? I know praise report wise, I'll go. Kay's sister got some good news. Kay texted me Thursday or Friday. She got her sister got good news. They're going to the treatments are working. The spot on her liver is gone. They couldn't see it, and so treatments are doing a good job. So they're going to continue with this for a while and see what happens. But it was really good news. Kay was excited. So thank you for praying for that. Also, remember next Sunday night we'll be having baptism. And I'm excited about that, and looking forward to what God's got in the future for us. Anybody else have anything? Nothing? Be much in prayer for the service this morning. I'm excited to preach this morning as every Sunday, and it seems that here lately it's just an excitement that I can't hardly wait to get to church to get to do what God has called me to do. If everyone would bow their heads, we go to the Lord in prayer, and then our singers come forth, and we have a great service. Father, we come to you today thanking you for this day you've given us. We thank you for the blessings you bestowed upon us. We thank you for each one that come out this morning. God, we ask that you truly touch us in this place this morning. God, we ask that you would be in the middle of us. Lord, I ask that you use New Harmony Baptist Church to reach out to this world. And God, that you lay on our hearts the way that we are to do it. We know we're not supposed to sit still. We know we're not supposed to be inwardly focused, and God, I ask that you help us focus outwardly that we may reach the ones you have for us to reach. And God, I know that you know all things. You know who will accept you and who won't, but God, we don't. So I ask you give us the knowledge, give us the ability to reach out to this lost world, and God, that we may give someone hope that's only found in Jesus Christ. God, I ask you to be with our singers this morning. Bless them in a special way. And as we come to the preaching service, I ask that you touch my body, God. Give me the health, give me the strength, give me the words, most importantly, God. We know that I can use my opinion all I want to, but nothing matters but your word. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Fear feels bigger than my faith. Struggles steal my breath away. My back's pressed up against the wall, with the weight of my worries stacked up tall. You're strong enough to hold it all. Only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. This war's not what I would have chosen. To see the future, no one knows yet. And there's still good when I can the working of your hands. You're holding it on. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. I'm finding this freedom when I lay it all on your shoulders. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control.
See the world through your eyes. sleeping giant rise. Catch the demons by surprise. Holy nation sanctified, let this be our battle cry.
good morning again. Again, excited to be here. And I was listening on the radio this week, and if you ever listen to Benny Tate on J933, he has a little tidbits he says on there sometimes. And he said there was a little boy that told his mother that he was thinking about being a preacher. She said, "Well, why do you want to be a preacher?" She said, "That's great, but why do you want to do that?" He said, "Because they get to stand and holler and spit, and I have to sit still and listen." So that's I guess that's a good reason. I think a lot of times about poor old you have sat there and listened to me. But this morning I hope that God's got something. I know he's got something for us. I've dealt with this all week and prayed about it all week and thought about it. And if you got your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter 2, we'll be going through verses 1 through 15. As you turn over there, I'll give you a little history. God had Paul pinned down the book of Colossians here, and he was in jail. It's one of the jail epistles. He was in jail and had him to pin this down for a little church there in Colossae. And if you study, you'll find that this was a small church, and it's in a city that had been right in the middle of a bunch of hustle and bustle before, but at this point in history, it was small. And because it was in this point where people were coming from every direction to it, they got to be a lot of beliefs going on in the church about how you was to be right with God. And if they got to a point of where they was trying to add stuff to Jesus, that you needed Jesus plus this, and do this plus Jesus, and this plus Jesus, and God had Paul to send them this letter to tell them that they needed absolutely nothing but Jesus. You don't have to add anything to him. It's not anything you can do. Not anything that you, kind of thing you can keep or none of that. It's simply who you are in Jesus Christ. And the title of this sermon this morning, if you want to call it that, is In Him. Just real simple. In Him. And we get caught up in so many things else. We've got many traditions in the church that are good. We've got some who are put here biblically. We've got some that man's made and other things. But one thing we need to remember, even good morals do not save us. Even the good morals we have doesn't save us. How good we think we act don't save us. What saves us is Him, is in Him and abiding in Him. And when we come to Him, we're given everything. And that's what Paul wanted these believers to know in Colossae, that don't get caught up with all this other stuff that's coming in. You realize that you are complete in Him, and that's enough. And this morning we have people even in our seats. I know we're missing a lot this morning, but still we have people in our pews this morning who are battling the old Satan. Tell them that you don't amount to anything. You are no good. What you do is no good, and you simply are not worth much to this world. But I want to tell you today that you are worth a whole lot. You're worth so much that Jesus come and died for you. You are so much that God desires to you to realize something, that you have the best thing that's anywhere in the world. You have the best thing that's ever been known to man, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the church at Colossae has, and that's what we still have today. If you would stand your feet, the reading of God's word in Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 1. I want you to listen very closely. I'm going to try to read a little slower this morning because I really want you to understand what Paul is saying to this church. I want you to understand this. It says, for I would that you knew what great conflict or what great care I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are all hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joy in beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Father, we thank you for this word today. God, we ask that you come into our midst right now, God, open hearts and open minds, and let us truly see who we are in Christ Jesus. Let us see that we need nothing else besides him. Let us see how important it is to walk in him. Let us see the full assurance that we have when we are truly in Christ. And God, we thank you today, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Did you notice as Paul was writing how he said that he had a great care for those people? I said this morning in our Sunday school class, it seems that we get so busy about telling people what we shouldn't do, we forget trying to help them. We forget trying to tell them what they should do and how to solve the problem. But here, Paul is telling them, he said, I have a great care for you. And listen, this was so important to God that he sent this message by Paul to this little tiny church. And by the way, this great message was brought by a slave. It says Paul probably had this thing delivered by Onesimus, which was a slave that he had led to Christ, who was in this Colossian community. And could you imagine how great it is that God uses every single person? And that none is so small that God can't use them. And none is so insignificant that God can't use them. My friend, if you're here this morning or you are in Christ Jesus, let me tell you something. You have a great job to do. You have a great responsibility to do. You have the best of best. You have something to tell the world about. And it's up to you to be telling them. But listen, he says, I want you to see something. I want you to understand something. There you are in that small church in Colossae, and you have people telling you all these things you should be doing. But I want to comfort you this morning in letting you know, number one, in Christ Jesus is fullness. In fullness. Now, you begin thinking about the word fullness. It simply means that there's no room for nothing else. There's no room for nothing else. I'm afraid that even us as Baptists today, we try to add things to Jesus. We try to add, like I said already, our good morals. We try to add these other things to him. And the Bible does teach that we need to live a certain way. It tells us right here to walk in him. And we need to abide in him. We need to stay close to him. But my friend, there's nothing. I want you to hear this a million times a day. But so be it. There is nothing that makes you right with God except being in Christ Jesus. That is the only thing. Nothing else can lose you. Nothing else can save you. What matters today is if you are in Christ Jesus. He says, I want you to understand, and I want you to have full assurance. Number one, he said, I want you to have full assurance. Listen to what he says. He says in verse number two, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. Now, right here it gets pretty hard, because there's mysteries of God that me and you, our mind just cannot comprehend. One of them is that I cannot tell you when God began. The Bible says it's eternity past. I cannot tell you how long God will reign because it's forever and our minds cannot comprehend this. So there are mysteries that we just have to simply say, I believe them by faith. And I trust them by faith. But listen, that's not what Paul was talking about. Paul was talking about the mysteries and the knowledge of knowing what it takes to be right with God. And he said, I want you to have a full assurance of this, and it comes by this. Listen to this. In whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you're going to understand the things of God, my friend, you must have the full assurance and knowing that in God lies all wisdom and all knowledge. The Bible calls it right here a treasure. I looked up the treasure of wisdom. Listen to what wisdom means. It simply means to be made clear. Made clear, and I'm afraid this morning that even us as preachers, we preach this so many times and we get things so confusing to people that it simply is not clear. And this morning I want one thing to be made clear. The way a man, woman, boy, or girl is made right with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's as clear as you can say it. There is no other way that man must be made right. The Bible plainly teaches that. So wisdom is being made clear. And if there's ever been a time when people need a clear understanding of God, it's today. I hear people all the time on the news when something bad happens, they'll say, God bless our country. God bless this and that. And here we are saying this with one mouth. And then the next time we're on TV, we're saying it's okay to abort millions and millions of babies. And how do we think that God's going to bless a nation who is doing these things? And the bottom line of this thing is he simply is not. So if you want the knowledge, the wisdom of God, and to make things clear, you must get an understanding of how holy he truly is. God is so holy that your mind and my mind cannot comprehend how clean he is. He's cleaner than the whitest thing you can imagine. You think the whitest thing you can simply imagine, that's not even compared to what God is. And the wisdom, the clear, to be made simply clear. The only way that people can be made clear and know the right way is they must be in Christ. There's no other way to understand who he is and how to make to clear things up unless you're in Christ. I remember hearing when I was a kid, I'd go to Bible school occasionally, or I'd go to Sunday school occasionally, and I remember hearing about this man Jesus, and I've been hearing about God, I begin hearing about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit and all these Bible words, and begin hearing all this, and listen, to me it wasn't clear. You know why it wasn't clear? Because I was not in Christ. I did not have the Spirit of God dwelling in me, and it could not be made clear. So I didn't have the wisdom, the treasure of it, and I didn't have the treasure of also of knowledge. Knowledge means to be aware and sure. To be knowledgeable about something, you know about it. You understand about it. And this is what Paul is telling you. I know this part may be a little bit boring, but Paul wants you to understand today who this man Jesus is. He is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He's part of the Godhead. He is completely man, but yet he's completely God. He is the Savior of the world. He came to save sinners from death. He came and gave his life on a cross for me and you. He arose the third day. He's at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and I. He's going to reign forever. He's going to be here forever. And because he is, my friend, you too can live eternally. And that's who he is. That's the knowledge we have of him. I'm afraid today that many people don't have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. They may have a little bit of understanding, but do they have true knowledge of who God is? Do they know who Jesus is? And maybe many Christians, I don't believe, understands this. I don't believe they understand who he is. He is not something you add to something to be made right with God. He's not something you add to life when it comes handy. He's not something you add to your marriage when it just becomes convenient. He's not somebody that you add just to make things go a little bit better when things is bad. My friend, he is everything to all people. And if you don't have him, you have absolutely nothing today. If you are not in him, you don't have anything. You sure do not have fullness. And God wants you to have fullness. So he sent Paul to write this letter. Did you notice what Paul said? He said, I have not seen you face to face. Has any man in here ever seen the face of God? No, we haven't. We have felt the Spirit of God, but we've never saw him face to face. So this letter is the same to Colossians as it is to me and you today, that we've never saw God face to face. But here he thought so much of New Harmony Baptist Church that he wrote us a little letter by a man named Paul, and he put it in a book called Colossians, and he's telling you and I today that his desire is that you understand the fullness of who God is. And in him, you need nothing. You need absolutely nothing. Verse 10 sums this thing up, and I'm going to say it two or three times. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Listen, if you're going to have full assurance and you have Jesus Christ, my friend, it tells us completely, plain as day, you are complete in him. You could close it right there. We could go home and be in good shape, but I got to hold your attention just a little bit longer. But I want you to understand today that you don't need to add anything to your spiritual life besides Jesus Christ. Yes, I want you to witness. Yes, I want you to go tell a lost and dying world about him. Yes, I want our church to reach out to a lost and dying community. But my friend, this is not going to save you. What saves you is completely, 100% Jesus Christ. You are complete in him. Next, I want you to see in him, not only is there fullness, there's forgiveness. How important is this? Listen, this is what it's all about. You see, anybody can preach anything and get people excited. You can get people, the Muslims get people excited. You can get all these other people excited. Buddhists get excited about their God. All these other people, matter of fact, they get more excited than you and I do. We hear this morning about half asleep, deciding we're getting ready for the Super Bowl and all these other things. We probably don't really want to be here, and we are here to worship a true and a living God. And those folks will ride 10-speed bicycles forever telling people about a false God. And you and I today can't even get excited. And we'd worship the one true living God. Listen, Buddhists cannot bring forgiveness. Muhammad cannot bring forgiveness. No other person in the world can bring forgiveness except Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He's the only forgiveness. Listen to what he tells them here. Verses 11 and 12. It says, "In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Now we've got to stop right here for just a second and let you understand something. Not only did they have the Eastern influence here in Colossae from the people coming from the East, tell them all the stuff about astrology and all this other garbage they didn't need to know, but yet they had the Jewish people coming in and telling them that you must be circumcised to be right with God, because God told us over in Genesis chapter number 17, verses 13 and 14, he told them that they must be circumcised. And this is what the Jews were still leaning on, and they still do today. "He that is born in my house and is bought with my money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And this uncircumcised man and man-child, whose flesh is foreskin, is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant." Now listen, Jesus came and offered a brand new way. And there was nothing you could do in your body to be made right with him. You could be circumcised and everybody be circumcised, and it does not make a young male child right with God because it's been circumcised. What matters to God is if your heart has been circumcised, if the flesh has been taken out and a spiritual heart put in there, that's how a man is saved. He says circumcision, it don't mean anything. That was the law. Circumcision was the law. Now we're under a new covenant. Now we're under Jesus Christ, and in him lies all forgiveness. But these Jews was telling them, said, "Hey, here you are, you claim you're in Christ, you claim you're right with God, and we've got little boys walking around that has not even been circumcised. Then how do you think they're right with God?" And Paul's saying, you put away that mess out of your church, you do away with that stuff, and all you need is Jesus Christ, and you need nothing else. You don't need to be circumcised. It's fine if you want to be, but it don't mean nothing. You don't have to wash your hands to go to heaven. You don't have to stay away from pigs to go to heaven. Or any of this other stuff. The things you've got to do to go to heaven is be in Christ Jesus. And boy, this turned the apple cart upside down. There was a great uproar in the church is the reason Paul wrote this letter, to help them. And you may be sitting here today, "Well, why in the world are you telling us about this? We don't believe that. We don't believe that." But my friend, I'm telling you, I've been in people's house before and ask them, "What must a man, woman, boy, or girl do to be saved?" And people will tell you, "Live a good life." I have heard it from a deacon in a Baptist church. We went in his house and asked him, "What must you..." We was reading off a paper, and it said, "What must you do to be saved?" He said, "Live a good life." I was like, "Okay, what else?" "The golden rule. Do unto others that have done unto you. That's what you must do to be saved." "All right, what else?" And listen, this man never did say that you must be in Christ Jesus. He never did say you must be born again by the blood of Christ. He never did say any of these things. And I'm afraid today that there's people, even in our sound of my voice, and surely outside those doors, that believe they're right with God because of some act they did sometime. Maybe they walked forth, was baptized. Maybe they repeated after some man. Maybe they did something. But my friend, unless there's been a time in your life when you come to God and you ask him to save you, and you meant it with all your heart and with all your being, the Spirit of God was drawing you to him, and you did these things, according to the scripture today, you are not saved. No act. Circumcision was a work of man. A doctor had to do that, or somebody in the community would have done it back then. And can you imagine going through that as a little 8-day-old child? But listen, that is nothing that man can do. Doctors still do circumcision today. It's mostly about health and cleanliness and all this stuff. But listen, there's doctors that can do that probably with their eyes closed. They probably have robots that can do it today. And all these things, they can do a bunch of stuff medically and do all these things. But may I tell you about the greatest surgeon who has ever been, and that's Jesus Christ. Listen what he could do. He does a circumcision of our heart. At the moment that faith comes in, that flesh of our heart is cut out. It's done away with in the Spirit, and it moves in. And listen, I've said this, and I've read this many times, about the operation of God. Think about what a great surgeon God is. Hey, how many people have you known who lived the most ungodly lives you've ever seen? I remember hearing about Stephanie's papa. He was a great preacher over in Carroll County. And he even so great, now I'm not lifting him up, he would have told you if he's still here that it was by grace he was saved and the goodness of God that was in him that made him great. But listen, this was a man who was an alcoholic, I believe up until he's about, 35? Somewhere about that, he was an alcoholic. He was run after women and all kind of things you can even imagine.
And then one day he got gloriously saved. And this man preached all around this area, all around another area. And a man who started out in this way, he became known as such a great evangelist that even back then his funeral made the Channel 2 news. It's on YouTube today. You can go watch it. Is he different than any other man? No, he's absolutely not. He was simply saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But what I'm telling you is God did an operation on his heart. And if you're saved today, God has done an operation on your heart. He has cut out the flesh and he's put in the spiritual. And all of this is done in the blink of an eye. You don't have any recovery periods. You don't have any of this stuff to go through. You walk up, you bow your head, and you cry out to him and you raise up. And you made a brand new creature, the Bible says. And all this is done in the moment of twinkle of an eye. And you are forever born again. That's a pretty good surgeon, ain't it? I bet Terry's known some good surgeons physically. But Terry would tell you, there's not a surgeon that can change the human heart. Yeah, they can put a brand new heart in from somebody else. They can put valves in your old heart. They can do miraculous things to your body. But there's not a man alive who can make you right with God except Jesus Christ. In him is forgiveness. It says, well, the circumcision made without hands and putting off the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him. Now listen, this gets people a little upset right here. And people begin saying, well, no, this is our way. You must be baptized to be saved. That is not what this scripture is saying. If you read on down a little bit, the Bible explains itself. It says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. How are we saved today? By the faith of what God has done in our hearts by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how a man is saved today. And that's all I need. I don't have to add one single thing. All the sermons I'll ever preach from the time I was 33 until the time I die, only God knows what day that'll be. They won't accomplish anything on my behalf as far as being right with God, although it teaches about crowns in the Bible. But what made me right with God is the simple prayer that I prayed on that second pew of Concord Baptist Church that evening. When I cried out to God, he changed his heart, he circumcised his heart, he put a spiritual heart in me that will forever beat for him. And listen, I may get away from him, but bless God, I won't get so far he cannot reach me. I am complete in him. I am completely forgiven in him. There's no part forgiveness. We tend to put God on our level. You see, us is when somebody will come to us and say, brother so-and-so, I'm sorry for what I said. We'll say, okay, I forgive you. But deep in our heart, we'll say, I might forgive you, but I ain't forgetting it. I'll get you. I'll get you one day. And we tend to think that this is how God is. But may I tell you that when God cleansed you, you was forgiven from what you've done in the past. You was forgiven from what you'll do today. And you're forgiven from what you'll do in the future. Those sins is done away with. If the Bible says they're done away as far as the east is from the west. Listen, this is a long ways, isn't it? I can't even comprehend how far the east is from the west. You can go that way as far as you want to go and you're never going to run into the east. Or vice versa, they never intersect. They just keep on going and keep on going. In other words, your sin is put away that far. Can you even imagine what a great God we must serve who can do these things so miraculously? Seems like, well, we should have to do something. You see, that's what gets men so caught up on our preaching is they think, well, I need to do something. You'll tell people, well, you need to come to Jesus. And they say, I will when blank. I will when I can do this. I will when I can do that. I will when I've lived this way. I will when I'm tired of living that way. I will when it comes time. Boy, we got a whole big old list of excuses of when we'll come to him. And the whole bottom line of the thing is we can't even decide when we'll come to him. He has decided to come to us and draw us to him. And when he does that, if you don't respond to him in the right way, brother, you can miss your opportunity. Boy, it ain't fun, is it? You see, we tend to think, well, I can come anytime I want to. I'll come when I'm 90. My friend, you may not make it another day. You may not make it another day. In him is complete forgiveness. Let me tell you something else that's good. Not only is fullness in him, not only is forgiveness in him, but forever. Forever is in him. This forgiveness that you're offered. You see, all this goes together. The fullness that you understand is that God is full enough to forgive you of everything. Everything you'll ever need in life, everything you'll ever need in death, everything you'll ever need anywhere is complete in God. through the Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's trying to get you to understand. And not only is it temporal, we tend to look at things that are temporal on this earth. And we think our job is all there is, or our families are all there. Listen, they're important things. Understand, I believe we have no greater gift outside of Jesus Christ than our family and our church family even. And we tend to think those things is all they are. But may I tell you, on the other side lies something that is forever. He is completely forever. And our minds can't comprehend this. Listen to what verse 14 says. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. The handwritings. Boy, I had to look about that blotting a little bit. The Greek word for blotting, I can't pronounce it, and I didn't even write it down, but it means to obliterate, to do away with. You see, they didn't have erasers such as we have. When they wrote on this parchment, there was hardly any way to get rid of this, but they would have to blot it out. They'd have to destroy it. They'd have to rip it up and go and start over. And this is what's saying, that all those sins you've done that God had a record of, the moment you trusted Jesus Christ, those things forever was obliterated. You see, when they done away, when they blotted out something back then, there was no going back and finding it on a file on a computer. You can delete something, it's possible to go back and get it. I delete pictures all the time, but you know what I usually forget? It's to go and to delete the delete album. You have to delete the deleted. That's stupid to me, but you have to do it. And I forget to do that a lot of times. I wonder why my space is taken up. That wasn't there then. When they destroyed something, it was forever destroyed. My friends, your sins was forever destroyed when you trusted Christ as your Savior. And why in the world do you stay in them and your mistakes? Why do you live in them? And why do you let them hold you down? You are forgiven of them. You're done completely with it. It's time for you to go forward. There's people in this building, their past sins are holding them back today. Even though there's a few of y'all here, these past sins you committed are holding you down today. You say, well, God can't use me. I did this when I was a teenager. God can't use me. I did this when I was 20. Or I did this when I was 40. Or you can go on back and the devil begins bringing this stuff up. And my friend, if you've been forgiven of it, the Bible says forever this stuff has been obliterated and done away with. You are clean. You are complete. You are holy. You're a child of God. You're a child of the King. It's time to go forward. It's time to go forward. You see, that's one of the reasons Paul wrote this. That church was standing there just going, just doing nothing. And it may have looked good to the outside. They had a few that was steadfast. He said that they were steadfast. They had faith in Christ. But bless God, they was going absolutely nowhere. And that's where 90% of our churches are in the country today. And we may have a group that is steadfast, a group that's here every Sunday. But where are you going? If you are not going forward with Christ, you're going backwards. And the reason Paul wrote this is he desired that church to go forward. And God had him inspired it. That was the reason. But listen, today I believe with all my heart he sent this message to you through me by the word of God to let you know something that you may complete in him. You have fullness in him. We have everything we need. You're forgiven in him. You're forgiven forever. So why in the world are you sitting still? Go forward. Go forward. Forever these sins are gone. I mentioned from east is from the west, but I'd like to show you in Scripture. Psalms 103. Psalms 103, verse number 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Your past is gone. Yesterday is gone. You can do nothing about the past. You can't change it. You may have consequences from it, but you can't change it. You can't make it better. And God has forgiven it. God has done away with it. He gives us another piece, another something to help us understand. He said, having blotted it out, the handwriting of ordinance was against us, which was contrary to us. In other words, it's contrary means against us. And took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. What do you do when you nail something? How many of you have ever built anything? I can't build a doghouse. I barely work on a car, but I cannot build anything out of wood. It gets crazy and crooked, and I just ain't no good at it. But listen, I've been around people who has built houses, and they'll take and they'll measure this thing about 100 times, and they'll figure it out, and they'll hold it up, and when they get to a point where they believe it's finished, they'll say, nail it. Nail it. Listen what he says. Everything that was against you, he took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross. Now, if you'll go back and you'll study, I haven't done this, but I believe with all my heart that those claw hammers they had back then didn't have the claw on it. You know why? Because when they nailed something, it was permanent. They wasn't planning on ever taking that nail out. And listen, your sins was nailed to the cross of Jesus. And you know what happened on the cross? Death happened. You know what died that day? The Savior died for your sins. And those sins of yours that was nailed on that cross, bless God, they died with Him, never, ever to return. You are forgiven. You've got fullness in Christ. You've got forgiveness in Christ. And you have forever in Christ. So why in the world are we being still? Go forward. It's been nailed to the cross. Not only that, but listen to this. Verse number 15, he didn't stop there. He spoiled the principalities and powers. I had to look up for some reason I hated words in school. I used to hate when I'd have words to come home and study vocabulary words in school. Some of y'all's teachers feel my pain. And I remember that whenever Amberly was in elementary school, we would have to go over these lists, it seemed like forever, of these words and the meanings of them. Oh, I hated it, but now I love words. I looked up the word of the meaning of spoiled in this context. It means to strip or uncover. Listen what he did when you read it this way. And having spoiled or having stripped or uncovered the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Who did he make a show of? Your enemies, death, hell, and the grave. Old Satan himself, Jesus, in nailing your sins to the cross, he made a show openly of this evil, of telling that it had no power to hold you down. No longer could he hold you. You have been set free by the death he died for you. Your sins have been nailed to the cross. He's proved it openly, not only to Satan, but everything that is against you, that no longer are you that old person. Your sins are gone. You made complete in God, so you are a brand new creature. He spoiled them openly. He uncovered the weaknesses. When he uncovered, listen, Satan, you cannot handle Satan in your flesh. You cannot handle him. You begin studying about him, he is a strong being. He is. He's not anything compared to God. God speak one word and he can be obliterated. But he is strong and you cannot handle him on your own. But bless God, through Jesus, you can be victorious. He uncovered the weaknesses of Satan. He has no power over the Savior and he has no power over you. Because of this, he has no power to hold you. When you walk in Christ. You remember the first part of this when we begin reading? He says, "Who you've now that you've received Christ, walk in Him." Listen, if you want this fullness, if you want to understand this forgiveness, and get in your head that it's forever, you must walk in Christ. The word walk in this context means to live, or to act, or to your daily life. You must be in Christ. How do you be in Christ? In the Word, in prayer. We know this. He spoiled them. Done away with them. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, penned down the epistle to give a message to Colossians, continue in Jesus. His enough. His desire was for them to be comforted and to know that in Christ they have fullness, forgiveness, and forever. And we've got to put up verse number 10 again. There's no way to finish this without this. You are complete in Him. There is nothing missing. You have absolutely nothing lacking in any area of your life because of Jesus Christ. You may be saying, "Well, I don't look this way." That teaches that in that scripture too. That body's going to be gone. I can't do this. I can't run as fast as my friend. I can't lift as much weight. The girls don't like me as much as they do him. And everybody's hair ain't cut like Landon's, thank God. But listen. You are complete in Him. Complete. You realize most people, even Christian people, are searching for something. You're searching for something in your life, even today. You're here this morning searching for something. You say, "No, I just come to church." My friend, you're searching for something. Why are we still searching when full completeness is in Jesus Christ? It goes back to the same problem the church at Colossae had. They did not have yet the understanding, the treasure of knowledge, and the treasure of wisdom. You know why? Because they was not walking in Christ Jesus. They wasn't in their word. They wasn't in prayer. They wasn't assembling themselves together as the first church did. They wasn't doing any of these things to stay in Christ. And because of that, they was just everywhere. didn't know which way to go, was sitting there in the same place doing the same thing they'd done for 50 years. And God sent a letter to a little tiny church. I don't know how many people had him, but it wasn't many. He sent a letter to a little tiny church to tell them, you are complete in Christ. You're here this morning. You are complete in Jesus Christ. You have no reason to be held down. You have no reason to be whipped, to be distraught, to be depressed, any of these things. You are absolutely whole in Him. As we stand, and Pat comes, plays for us. What is it? What is it today that is holding you? It seems like ever since the first year I have preached and harped on this, and I'm just going to keep until He tells me to quit. What is holding you back from doing what God has called you to do? Every single excuse you can come up with was just answered in verse number 10, in the first part of it. You are complete in Him. Without Him, you are nothing, but with Him, you are absolutely complete. If He's laid something on your heart, my friend, you go for it because you are complete. You have what it takes. You have what it takes. So what is holding you back? It would be one word, and we could sum it all up, and that would be fear. It would be fear of failure. Fear of being excluded from something. Fear of not being accepted to something. Fear would always be there. It would be fear because you're seeing who you are in you, not who you are in Him. In Him, you are complete. But in yourself, you are weak. And I'll use myself for an example. And y'all all going to giggle. I compare myself to those football players that's going to play today in Atlanta. I'm a lot shorter, amen? A lot prettier than most of them, but shorter. I'm not as fast as probably any of them. Not as strong as probably even the kickers. Not as knowledgeable as none of them. I don't have anything to do with them, and they just listen. Boy, I'm just not anything compared to them. There's probably some of them that can preach. Probably some of them that God may even use to preach. But all I can do is what God has given me and do what I trust He's given me the ability to do. I can be the best of what I can be at what He has blessed me with. And that's all you can do, and you've been given all it takes to do what He's called you to do. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. You are complete in Him for what He has for you to do. As we sing today, is there someone here? Now listen, if you don't have Him today, you are empty. There's no fullness. There's no forgiveness. There's no forever. There's forever, but it's not with Him. You see, we're created as eternal beings. We will spend eternity somewhere, either in hell and direct separation from God, or in heaven and paradise with God, eternally forever. Where are you today? Are you complete? Church except members. Anyway, the gospel authorized this morning.